Thank you for the introduction, Ram. It's been a pleasure knowing Ram, as I said before, we met through retreat. It's through retreat practice at IRC, I guess. Those are our first meetings, and so we're getting to know each other more and more through the Dharma leader training. So I really appreciate the opportunity to be here, and all of you and your practice bringing you here tonight. So my wish for this evening is to talk a little bit about intention. Seems often this new year, time of year, is full of thoughts about intention, and it can be very useful and fruitful, done well. So I thought maybe I'd talk a little bit about, well, what does that look like? What does it look like to do intention well? The first idea, I think, is just to have the basic definition of intention, at least from a Buddhist perspective. It's pretty similar to general intention, right? Intentions are the primary underlying motivations for whatever we think or say or do. And in Buddhism, in our practice, we know that intention is consequential, right? It matters. Our motivations matter. How we do things, why we do things matters, no matter what the outcome is. What was behind the intention is important. In the suttas, the Buddha lumped intentions together into two main categories, skillful and unskillful. It's kind of easy. At least it seems like it is on the surface. Skillful intentions would be those that support wellness, wholeness, goodness, non-suffering. And that's not just for ourselves and internally, but also externally and for others that are impacted by our intentions. And then there's the unskillful ones, which obviously are the opposite. So they support harm. They support suffering, both internally and externally. So, with that, then, as the second step in the Eightfold Path, and right behind wise view, we have this understanding and wise view of the Four Noble Truths. And we know that there's this Eightfold Path. And so now we're going to step out with intention, right? In order to do that, we have to understand and adopt the skillful intentions. And we have to be ready to understand and let go of the unskillful. So I thought we would go through the three skillful intentions that are recommended by the Buddha. And just by logic, the unskillful are the opposite. So we'll touch on that a little bit, but I'd like to focus on the skillful. The first wise intention then is nikkhama vitakko in the Pali language. And it means something like thoughts of letting go. Thoughts of letting go, often translated as renunciation or letting go in English, or even release. So this first wise intention then is the resolve to let go, the resolve to release, the intention to soften around things, around ideas, around attachment. In maybe the positive flip side of that idea of letting go or renunciation, we can put that intention for renunciation to work through acts of generosity, through non-clinging, that contentment around whatever we have in the moment, however things are in the moment. The Buddha points to the benefits of meeting life with an attitude of generosity or non-attachment. In the suttas, he explains, after some time practicing with renunciation and generosity, I saw the drawbacks of sensual pleasure, and I cultivated that awareness, cultivated the awareness of the drawbacks of attachment. And then I realized the benefits of renunciation and generosity, and I developed to that. My mind leapt forth, gained confidence, settled down, and became decided in renunciation. I saw it as peaceful. I love that. The idea of letting go, softening around attachment, being generous as a peaceful act, a peaceful state of being. So, what does this look like in practice? Simply, I'd say this intention involves growing our resolve to meet life with this attitude of generosity. So, maybe that involves letting go of things that we no longer need, or maybe it's letting go of desires, softening around them at least. Or maybe it's about cultivating contentment with what we already have. It can take many forms. One way that I have practiced with renunciation is just to notice the flavor of peace or simplicity that can arise when I let go of a sensual desire. I was thinking about it recently with all of the food and bountiful tables during the holidays. Can be, I mean, certainly it's fun to celebrate and enjoy the delicious food and relax. And also, if we eat more than we need, I mean, I find myself just really uncomfortable and regretful. And so I was practicing with being okay with enough, right? Be content to have just enough. And then to look for the peace that came with that. So it's a lovely practice, appreciating enough for its completeness. That's just one way, one example. That's our first wise intention then, renunciation slash generosity. The second wise intention that the Buddha spoke of is non-ill will. The flip side of it then is metta. The literal translation for the second wise intention is thoughts of non-ill will, resolve on non-hatred, or an attitude of non-anger. And so we then put it to work in positive terms. We put it to work through acts of metta or kindness. The Buddha talked about the benefits of this practice as well. By definition, I guess a primary benefit of non-ill will is the absence of suffering that comes with ill will. When we're dwelling on hatred, it's going to be unpleasant. We're going to suffer. So letting go of it, non-ill will. As we cultivate that intention for non-ill will or even metta, loving kindness, we can notice the pleasantness that comes with having this good intention. And then, if we're able to actually implement good intentions with kind thoughts or words or actions or work in the world, we can see the benefit to ourselves and to others. And so, in practice, it involves growing that resolve to meet life with an attitude of kindness, cultivating the intention of goodwill, pulling any weeds of ill intention. And this involves noticing our embodied experience of skillful and unskillful, reflecting on the benefits. That's why in our meditation today, I included that idea of getting familiar with what it feels like when goodwill is present, when friendliness is present, and cultivating that. And maybe sometimes it feels fake. Practice of metta, if we don't, if we're just not, our heart's not in it on a particular day. But I think the science is with us on this one. By putting on a smile and closing our eyes and just breathing, we help our bodies relax and we encourage them to notice, you know, by just by noticing how good it feels to smile, we can encourage body to be happy, to at least be less unhappy. And so this is the you know, a practice that in my own life has been really key, I think, for my connection to practice. Coming from yoga background, an awareness of the body is just so integral. Learning to notice where ill will is centered and when it's creeping in is so useful. You know, if I notice the intention of ill will in my maybe a snarky tone in my speech or something, I know to pause. I know I can feel it. It's like, just pause. Maybe it's better to say nothing, right? Or maybe if I close my eyes and slow down and invite kindness, a memory of a smile from a friend, I can change my course of action. You'll find what works for you. So that's our second wise intention. The third is non-cruelty. And the flip side of that is compassion. So to describe the third wise intention, the Buddha used the term avihimsa vitakko. So literally, that's thoughts of non-cruelty, non-hostility, the resolve to wish for the end of suffering. In positive English words, we can use the idea of putting these intentions to work through acts of compassion or karuna. According to Bhikkhu Sujato, karuna takes pleasure in the alleviation of pain, while vihimsa or cruelty takes pleasure in inflicting pain. That description really strikes me because the thought of taking pleasure in inflicting pain, I mean, just that, the very thought, makes me not want to do that. It doesn't sound good. An example of the benefit then of intending to be compassionate or non-cruel is the absence of the suffering that comes from contemplating the cruelty in the first place. And I was just talking about that sense of, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm actually wishing for this. Why, instead of contemplating compassion, we gain that pleasantness that comes with compassion. Even when there's suffering, we can wish for its end. And we can benefit the world around us if we can then take action with thoughts or words, perhaps even works of compassion. So in practice, this intention, this third wise intention, involves growing our resolve to meet life with that attitude of compassion, cultivating intentions of compassion, pulling weeds of cruelty. And in order to do this again, It's really helpful to notice our embodied experience of the skillful and the unskillful. And so maybe practicing with compassion, remembering how it feels when someone does something to relieve your suffering, or remembering how it felt when you did something for someone else. Noticing what that actually feels like in your body. Where do you feel it? Where is it centered? What are the physical sensations that might come with when compassion is active? That can be the practice, growing familiarity with what it's like to feel compassion, and even what it's like to feel cruelty. Noticing how different they are and noticing which one feels beneficial, which one feels wholesome. So, three wise intentions. The intention of generosity, involving letting go of what is no longer needed, not clinging to sense desire. The intention of kindness, involving not being hateful, angry, malicious. And the intention of compassion, involving doing no harm. So these are the three. And I think it's useful to ask, why do these wise intentions matter? These skillful intentions that the Buddha recommended, why are they important to the path? Why are they important to the direction in our lives? Or why are they important to your New Year's resolution? I mentioned some benefits for each of them. In the Buddhist text, I quoted earlier, he shared his personal experience of what arose when each of the six kinds of intention came up in meditation. So that I only shared a portion of the quote, but for each of the unskillful intentions, the Buddha said, as he meditated, diligent, keen, and resolute, he noticed that it leads to hurting myself, to hurting others, and hurting both. Unskillful intentions lead to hurting myself, hurting others, and hurting both. He said it blocks wisdom, it's on the side of distress, and it doesn't lead to extinguishment. So I gave up, got rid of, eliminated any sensual desire, ill will, or cruel thoughts that arose. So he's very clear. Why does it matter that I let go of these unskillful intentions? And then he followed up, of course, by describing for each of the skillful intentions that we just went through, when thoughts or intentions of renunciation or goodwill or compassion arose in him as he meditated, the effect was really different. He says, this thought doesn't lead to hurting myself, hurting others, or hurting both. It nourishes wisdom. It's on the side of freedom from distress. It leads to extinguishment. If I were to keep on thinking and considering this all night, all day, all night and day, I see no danger that would come from it. So what, another beautiful description, full of really inspiring effects. Wisdom is nourished. There's freedom from distress. There's no harm that comes from it. No danger for me or anyone else. I become safe. So these unskillful intentions cause harm. The skillful intentions lead us toward freedom. And then the Buddha goes on to say, in conclusion, whatever a practitioner frequently thinks about and considers becomes their heart's inclination. I love this translation too, because it refers to the heart's inclination, a leaning of the heart toward the skillful. The idea of an inclination or an intention is not just a momentary thought or an action. Oh, I should do this. But instead, we're being changed. And we're changed by an extended, ongoing inclination, a leaning, a resolve, an attitude that we carry with us. So that's why these three skillful intentions for generosity, kindness, and compassion, that's why they matter. So infusing our choices with one or more of these qualities. What if they're so important that the direction of your life depends on them? These quietest intentions of our hearts. What if just with just those, we can shape our future? That's what inspires me about this wise intentions. So, thank you. That's what I have to offer on the wise intentions. And my thought is you have reflection and discussion period here, right?
Thank you, Jamil. It was beautiful.
So, for reflection and discussion, I thank you first for your kind attention around intention. I'd like to maybe to inspire the discussion, maybe offer some questions first for just a couple questions for your own silent reflection. And maybe, if one of the questions grabs you and you just want to stay with that, that's fine. If you're at, if you have a pencil and you want to write, that's fine too. Whatever you want to, however it works for you. And so I'll read them one at a time, and I'll give you a little bit of time to think about each one before I move on to the next one. And then we'll come together for group discussion. You can share whatever came up for you this evening, whether it was related to these questions or the talk or your meditation or whatever. So, three questions. The first one is, which of the three wise intentions, generosity, kindness, and compassion, which of the three wise intentions is most challenging for you? The second one, so you might think about, what kind of situations are difficult, and maybe you reflect on why that one is most difficult for you. The second question then is, which of these three wise intentions comes most easily for you? Generosity, kindness, or compassion? Consider what that looks like for you. And then the third question. How could wise intention support your practice? How could generosity, kindness, and/or compassion support your practice? So maybe there's some way in which you could practice with one or more of these. Those were three questions and a few minutes to reflect on wise intention. Let's just open the floor for discussion, questions, comments, your wise insights, whatever you'd like to bring forward. Or maybe just sharing what you noticed as you sat practicing with kindness.
Thank you for the guided meditation. If you would talk, I really appreciate that. It was really interesting as I was meditating and you were saying to approach this with friendliness. This giant wave of self-loathing. It was really interesting to try and meet it with friendliness because it's just the complete opposite. And as you were talking throughout the talk, I started to marinate on this, and I started to realize that, yeah, I can see how this immense self-loathing also doesn't just impact me, but it also impacts how I interact, how I see people, how I judge them. And I don't have control over other people, but I have control over my own self-loathing. I can definitely use my part to slowly chip away at it. And so, in terms of how I can help my practice, I think it can help it significantly because it can help drastically change my perspective on the internet. So, thank you.
Thank you so much. That's a powerful observation and the noticing of the value of bringing care, tenderness to what's going on inside for you. So important.
No, thank you so much. Beautiful reflection question. So, the one I struggle with, it's not so much with kindness, but who I am kind towards. Right? There is this thing called self that takes its own shape. And that self judges, compares, places value. And when I catch it, I can apply the teachings in time. It's
This
not
is
always easy to catch it.
the human experience, right?
Very much so.
Whether we have difficulty expressing kindness toward ourselves or toward other people,
Right.
noticing it, catching it as soon as we
Catching it.
can.
Yep. That continues to be my practice of keeping the self in check. But thank you for this framing, how you framed it. It's beautiful. Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, Ram.
Thanks for your talk. Really enjoyed it. And I wanted to say I really liked your talk about renunciation. We said about renunciation or eating and holidays. I was sometimes successful, sometimes unsuccessful with that. But the point that I never heard before was when you were successful, recognizing the peace of mind at the time that that happens. sorry, I get allergies up. When I think of realization of giving something up, but really what I'm doing is getting something, getting that peace of mind. And it's hard to remember that sometimes, especially when I'm looking at all these cookies that I want of everyone. Really don't want to do that. I tell you what. And in recognizing and then and enjoying the peace of mind in real time when that happens is really rewarding and beneficial to remembering to keep doing that, to keep it going. I never thought of that. I think that's really useful. I'm going to take that home tonight and try that. Thank you.
See what you think. I find it very encouraging in the moment, right? It encourages me to stay on the healthy path.
Yeah, there's like an instant positive feedback, which would normally be negative. It just flips, which is so helpful.
Yeah, thank you.
You.
I'm a
My turn.
sometimes visitor here. I am a Michigan Tech grad. So I lived in the AP for my college years. So when I saw you were speaking, I wanted to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, lots of snow in Houghton right now.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I had some struggles over the holidays, just family interactions. I had some resentment with a family member, like building up over a year and a half, just some unkind things were said to me and to my wife that I didn't call out at the time. And I'm just wondering, like, just the idea of boundaries in skillful acts of, I just, this family member is very uncomfortable in social situations. She's, it's just like, giving the compassion, like, okay, I know this is difficult for you to do these things, and you end up saying some very unkind things, just like, and it just comes out of her mouth with absolutely no, a lot of judgment here, obviously. But I'm just I'm looking for, in my practice, better ways to, let go of this resentment and not have it, because it came out in a very unskillful way over the holidays. With this family member. So it wasn't very, it wasn't, it was just, I said some unkind things. And,
Yeah, well, first of all, just thank you for, sharing. I think what's really beautiful here is that it sounds like you're reflecting deeply on this, and you can see that this other person struggles, and maybe you struggled a little bit, and we're all human. And for me, anyway, in my practice, I find that that recognition, it kind of, maybe it goes back a little bit to what I heard and what Ram said. It's like it's so easy to like get caught up in the self and not see that we're all just here walking each other home, right? That saying. And it sounds like you see that. I think that's a huge step, is all of us are here to grow that capacity to really be present for these kinds of key basic awakenings. But then, like, what to do with it is always difficult. And, without knowing your exact situation, I'll just say that I think, reflecting on what's possible, what's realistically possible with this person. I don't know them. Some people have the capacity to grow. And some people just aren't quite ready for that, And you've got your boundaries. If you can, if you need to, care for yourself and care for the other person as gently as possible, bringing in these wise intentions, being generous, with your judgments, being kind as possible. And, if, maybe there's a, maybe you feel, who knows what you'll be motivated to do, whether there's apologies or whether there's just a heart-to-heart talk, or maybe it just is the way it is right now and you just do our best to move forward,
Yeah.
But, yeah. My heart goes out to you, though.
Yeah, thanks for listening and just yeah, thank you.
Keep bringing your practice into
Thanks for your talk. It was really, really compelling. And I thought the one when you said that these intentions can change the direction of our life, that really hit
it.
struck me, right? Like that just, I mean, thinking, and it can, right? It just, and the idea that and I wouldn't, like, I've heard this notion of just to have to start with the intention is enough. I mean, that if to get going on the path, just to have the intention is enough. And sometimes I've taken some comfort in that, like, oh, I just have to get in my mind that I want to do this. But that seems a little different than, to me, than the way we were using it tonight. And I'm wondering if there is a difference. But when I put those two things together, it really is, you know, it's like, wow, you know, that I can just do these things, and it can, and I think it can affect the direction of the world around us. And you know, one example, I mean, the loving kindness, that's the thing that I guess practiced the most of these three. And kind of this idea that I think, like, Bhikkhu Muni in his book on the Eightfold Path talks about thought substitution. And like, when I have unskillful thoughts, I just replace it with thoughts of loving kindness. And I do that. And it does sometimes, I mean, I don't always match them up, like unskillful versus the comparable skillful thought, because I just go to loving kindness. But I do it over and over many times a day. When I can't get to sleep at night, I do it when I try to do it. So it's really been positive for me. So thank you.
Well, that's a great testimonial. How to use a wise intention and how it can benefit, you know, how it can benefit you in a kind of practical way. Yeah. I loved your question too about wise intention, like just having the intention to versus diving into the three wise intentions and trying to implement them. And I think there's room for both of those in the path, you know. Just having the intention and trusting the confidence that I'll keep practicing and I'll make my way down the path, you know. And, you know, I think there's room. I think I find that wise intention and wise effort are kind of like really closely knit in the way I kind of practice with them, because it's that, you know, wise effort's that gardening metaphor of, you know, growing. Planting the seeds of the skillful, we've got three skillful things here, right? Planting those three seeds and nurturing those three seeds, and then pulling the weeds when we notice the unwise things arising. So, you know, yeah, I think that makes for a nice movement down the path just by starting to notice and plant the skillful and pull the unskillful.
And I also appreciated your talk tonight. I was just going to say that the hardest for me is probably generosity. And what I took away from your talk was that you know, when I'm ungenerous, I can feel it in my body, and that's I should I can pay more attention to that, and that I can use that to strengthen my practice, I guess.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, that's so great that you, I mean, just that first step of being able to notice it in your body is so huge, right? But that's how we can be aware. Like in the moment, you know, like, oh, there it is. Ooh, that's not good. This, you know, then we can take action. Yeah. We maybe have time for one more. There is one more. Or I understand you have a lovely closing song, which I think is so nice. I listened to it on your
That's
website. I can't wait to see how this goes.
Thank you for your talk this evening. It it's always nice to come to these sessions because you don't realize how much helpful these sessions are. I mean, one of the things that you were talking about, wishing harm. As a boy, I got a BB gun, and it was a pellet gun. And I began my path of causing harm to animals, and looking back on it, reflecting back on it, I realized it was, it's a sense of powerless. You feel powerless as a child sometimes. And it wasn't until much later where I realized what harm I was causing, which then now, and I think if children would receive this type of practice, I think they would realize and understand their, existence and coexistence. And so it's interesting how a talk like this can trigger something from, so it was a little uncomfortable because you do a lot of self-analyzation, but then you realize this is why you come to these practices to remind yourself. And I think that's one of the reasons why I don't eat meat anymore, because I don't want to cause any harm. I don't want to have any suffering, be a part of suffering to so it was for whatever reason it triggered that, and I appreciated you kind of breaking all those down and realize that it's good to be mindful and remind yourself and be kind to yourself as you were talking through the meditation. So thank you.
Oh, thank
Appreciate
you.
it.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that too. Yeah, always we all are learning and growing, and so if we can bring kindness to ourselves, then we can move on that path. Yeah, thank you all for your sharing and your listening and your practice. I really appreciate it. I'm so glad Ram invited me to be here, so thank you.